Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Good morning, everyone. So if you've got your Bibles, then can you turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 18? Got it? So just one verse, and I'm just going to read it right out now. It says, "So take care how you listen." So take care how you listen. So have you ever heard of the phrase, I'm sure you'll have, seeing life through rose-tinted glasses? Or the phrase, oh, their glass is half full, or their glass is half empty. Yeah? You see, many of us, including myself, thought that the way we saw life was just our personality. You know, some people, the glass is always half full. Some people, it's always half empty. And it's just who we are. But did you know that the way we see life and the way we think and how we think can in fact be learnt through our experiences? And it happens often in our early childhoods. And we all see life through what we call coloured lenses. And that's the title of the preach today, Seeing Life Through Coloured Lenses. And what we're talking about is really our mindsets. It's how and the way we think. And the truth is that all of us, because we live in a broken world, you know, sin got in, we've learnt to think, to see life through a lens that does not necessarily line up with how God sees and thinks. Remember that verse? His ways are higher than our thoughts. But the good news is that we can unlearn and relearn the way we think. And we do that by the renewing of our minds. And it's then that our lives are transformed. Amen? We all know this verse, don't we? Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So today I'm going to talk about our core values and the coloured lenses we see life through. So we just read Luke 8:18. So take care how you listen, because the way we listen, how we listen, is different to how, say, Joe listens or Clive or Cecilia. And these coloured lenses we see life out of, it's like an accent. You know, we all speak with an accent, don't we? And you don't know you have an accent until you meet someone with a different accent to yours. And then you think, well, they're the ones with the accent. And we all speak with an accent, but we also see with an accent. We see the world through a lens. And the way you see the world isn't necessarily how others see the world. Because we see the world with our accent, and we think others who see the world, who would, you know, and they see it different to us, we think, well, just their opinion isn't just as good as my opinion. It's just, you know, it's like, oh, their accent, they've got an accent, I haven't got an accent. And often we'll just, you know, we'll tend to gather with people who think, you know, like-minded people gather, don't they? And people who don't think like us, we think, well, they're just, to be honest, they're just not as good as us. They're not as mature as us. Just like, you know, we come across with, you know, say American accent, we just go, well, you know, we're English, we know how to speak English, and our accent is the best accent, right? Just, you know, taking the mickey there, because that's what we're like. You know, we think that we're right, and we all see life through a lens that has been coloured and scratched by our life experiences. How we were brought up, the hurts and the lies we've believed colour and scratch the lenses we see life out of. And it affects how we listen and see. It comes out in the way we think, in the things we say, in the things we do. And when these beliefs don't line up with what God says, we get a distorted view of ourselves, of others, and more importantly, of God. And as Christians, I'm sure, you know, we all have our favourite scriptures that we'll quote, and, you know, we might have them written down, we might have them saved on our phones, we may even have them post-it note on our fridge, or you may have had it all printed out and framed and put it on your wall. But for those scriptures to become real truth, truth that sets us free, that takes much testing, doesn't it, church? Amen? And I want to call these our high values. Our high values, they are God's truths, but actually, they might not be our truths yet, or our core values yet. It's our core values that we will react to and respond to situations. And often we can be religious, we can declare, yes, God is in control, greater is he that's in us than he that is in this world, or God is our healer, God is our provider. But in reality, does it come out through your thoughts and your actions when we're hit with that bad news? When we get that bad report from the doctor? Or when we lose our jobs? Or maybe our kids go off the rail? Let me give you an example. Have you ever been on your way to church, for instance, and you are on the rota, you're down to serve, to preach, to worship, to welcome, whatever it is, you need to be early and you need to be prepared. And then the morning arrives, you have the most stressful time getting to church. You wake up late because your alarm clock didn't work. You miss the bus or your car breaks down. You have a row with your family members. Have you been there, church? And what happens then? Well, we can do a few things, can't we? We can get angry and frustrated. We can blame it on the devil, or even worse, we can say, well, it just wasn't God's will for me to go today. And the thing is, these things happen, especially when we're wanting to serve God. And in a split second, we've made the devil bigger than God. The devil is stopping me from getting to church. The devil blew out my tire. The devil broke my alarm clock. And before you know it, all those high values are out the window. It's your core values, how you really think, that's kicked in. And God, more than ever, wants our core values to line up with his words, his truths, his promises. And that process is the renewing of our minds that we read about earlier. And when we develop those strong core values and they line up with God's truth, it's that truth that sets us free. John 8, 31 to 32 says, if you hold on, this is Jesus saying, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. See, often we read that and quote that and we forget the bit at the front where it says holding on to God's teaching. That is key to knowing the truth. And the word truth there is not logos or rhema. The word truth there actually means reality. When you know the reality, then reality will set you free. It's the reality that God rules and reigns. It's the reality that we live both in eternity and now. See, many of us live in a virtual reality, and it often can become like a prison. Do you know what I'm saying, church? And the only way you get out of that prison is when Jesus reveals the reality, the truth, and it's then that it sets you free. It's that reality, God's truth, that sets us free. So things like sin, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, fear, racism, all these things scratch our lenses and we begin to view and interpret the world through a reality that is not kingdom. And we prophesy with a lens too. It's one of the first times I learnt about seeing through coloured lenses, because when we prophesy, it's important to check whether our core values line up with God's values. Because if we've had, say, a harsh dad who shouted and punished us every time you messed up, you're going to prophesy out of that lens. You're going to be more old covenant rather than new covenant. You will be quick to point out a person's mistakes and dish out judgment rather than show mercy. Because that's the way we see life. Not only that, you're going to see your Heavenly Father through that lens too. An angry father who shouted all the time will make it hard for someone to believe that God is not angry with them and that he quietly loves them. Maybe your dad was absent and he didn't take care of you. He didn't provide for you and he didn't protect you. You're going to struggle to believe that your Father God in heaven will take care of you and will provide for you and protect you. And these mindsets or coloured lenses can be renewed and changed. And it happens through, first of all, revelation. It's knowing that you're seeing life that's not God's way of seeing life. And then it comes through repentance, because we have to repent for partnering with this lie. And then we have to renounce it. And then we give it to Father God and ask for his truth in exchange. That is when breakthrough comes. That's when deliverance comes. That's when those walls come crashing down. And it's a process. We're all given a mind of Christ. But when we're saved, it's just in a seed form. And it's up to us to partner with Holy Spirit so that we can grow and develop that seed. There's a key tool in Sozo called Father Ladder, which is so powerful and effective in rooting lies and wounds, and it just brings freedom and healing. And one of the reasons I love Sozo is it gets right to the wound, because often, you know, we try to heal the symptom, don't we? And we don't take care of the wound. And over the years of being saved, God has been cleaning my lenses, getting rid of the scratches and, you know, that have got onto them, and it's distorted the way I see life. Because when we don't know who we are, that, you know, I'm a daughter, or, you know, you're a son, when we don't have our son glasses or daughter glasses on, we're going to see life through an orphan lens. Some of you know my story, but some of you don't. But just to share, one of the most life-changing experiences was when I first realized that God was a loving Father, that his love was unconditional. I think some of you need to hear that today. God's love is unconditional. This was so massive for me, because I grew up learning that I had to work for my parents' approval. You know, being perfect was the only way I got a well done, or to just avoid any discouragement, to be honest. And, you know, no one is perfect apart from Jesus. Amen. So I grew up with a lens I had to work for man's approval. And if I wasn't perfect, or didn't meet my own high expectations, I was a failure. I was just rubbish. And rejection came in. Not only that, my way of dealing with it was either to put others down or to beat myself up. And to be honest, I often did both. And I grew up with a very disconnected, dysfunctional family. We didn't really talk as a family, let alone talk about emotions. And those who know me, I am pretty emotional. And, you know, we didn't hug or say ever that we loved each other. But praise God, when my family started one by one getting saved, it was like a light shone in the darkness. Literally, before Jesus came into our lives, into our home. I remember, and I didn't understand it until now, that my memory of home before Jesus was grey and dark and cold. Literally, that's how we saw, how I saw our home. And when Jesus, after Jesus, so before and after, so after Jesus, for the first time, I saw our home in colour, and it was light and it was warm. Well, as I've continued my walk with God, he's just been refining me. And that's what he does, because it's from glory to glory to glory. None of us have, you know, meet that perfection. You know, none of us have yet. Not until, you know, Christ returns. Because God is so good, he doesn't leave us where we're at. And what he does, he shows us areas of sin. You know, when you're going through trials, it doesn't make you angry. It doesn't make you fearful. All it does is bring out what's already there. And it's not to bring a shame either. But he does it to reveal the wounds and the lies we believe, so he can set us free, church. Because he doesn't want us to keep going round and round those mountains anymore. He does it always through community and family and relationships. Because if we don't see how others see life, those who are further ahead than us in their journey following Christ, we don't realise that we see life through a different lens. Discipleship is so important and vital. We heard it preached, and, you know, it was amazing the other week, you know, when Sam, Adam and Colin preached on discipleship. Because when we come alongside and fellowship with others in Christ who are really following Jesus, you see Jesus in them and the truth is revealed and you want to be like them. You know, when I first met Clive and Debs, just loving on people, you know, and I used to think, really? You're loving on them? Do you know what they've done? You know? And for the first time, I started to see in a different way. I saw Jesus's mercy and love instead of judgment. It started to just clean my lenses, and started to clean away those religious thoughts and the religious spirit, which was always about right and wrong, and it was always about punishment. And God started to show me that love and mercy triumphs over judgment. This is what brings about real transformation. And I was on a Sozo intensive mentoring course the other week, just to be vulnerable. And we were practicing the Father Ladder, which I was mentioning a while earlier. And this tool is so simple yet powerful. And basically, the way we see the Godhead, that's Father God, Jesus and Holy Spirit, is related to how our earthly relationships are. So friends, for example, the way we see our own dad will affect the way we see Father God. And the way we see our mum will affect the way we see Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is the comforter, the one who nurtures and teaches. And the way we see our siblings or close friends even affect the way we see Jesus, because Jesus is our companion, our friend. You know, he's the one that we communicate to and share our secrets. And, you know, I have struggled with my dad and have had lots of healing in this area. And I've forgiven Dad, you know, and it's not a dishonouring thing when we do this, because basically we all have needs, and doesn't matter how great parents you have or not, they're often those needs aren't met the way you need them to be. And that's when the hurt and the lies come in. So anyway, I thought, you know, God's done a lot of work there. And anyway, when the guys were praying for me, the lie that came up was that I needed to forgive Dad because, you know, he never connected to me, all his children, and he still struggles in that area. And the lie that got revealed, so I forgave Dad, and unknowingly, although I had forgiven Dad, what I didn't realize was that I tried to understand why Dad was like that. I started to tell myself, well, you know, Dad was orphaned quite young and, you know, he's just, you know, he's had a hard life as well. So that just helped me to understand, and it helped with forgiving him. And what I didn't realize was that I just thought, well, I'm also like my dad. I am also not very good at connecting with people. And I didn't realize I have lived with this lie up until now. So I renounced the lie and I asked Father God for his truth. This is how Sozo works. And he said, I have made you in my likeness and you are great at connecting with others. It was almost like that revelation, that light bulb moment that I did not realize that this was my mindset all my life. And I didn't realize that. And it, you know, it has caused me to struggle throughout my life with forming close relationships and friendships. Because if you believe you're not very good at connecting with people, if you think you're awkward and people aren't going to like you anyway, you're not going to want to connect to people. And guess what? It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's when we know the truth that we get set free. Amen. And once you know the truth, the reality, we get to practice wielding that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, His truth. This is how we practice and renew our minds. It's through partnering with the Holy Spirit. It's through fighting the good fight. Whenever that temptation comes to think with that old mindset, we start declaring, no, this is God's truth. I love this story that Chris Vallotton shared. He said, when people learn to fly, there's this dynamic. Okay, I don't know if any of you have had flying lessons at all, but this was really interesting. He said, there's this dynamic called spatial disorientation. And basically, this spatial disorientation causes most pilots to crash. Yeah. And most often, all small planes crash because of this spatial disorientation. And what it is that when the pilot gets in a storm or a cloud, they cannot see ahead. And they have this really strong sensation that the plane is going upside down and diving towards the ground. It's so strong. And when they have this sensation, they basically decide to turn the plane the other way around. And what's actually happened is that now they are upside down and literally diving into the ground. And that's how many small planes crash. So when you're learning to fly, when they teach you, they say in every session, watch your gauges. And they remind you, because it's so important, they say you've got to trust your gauges. So in aviation, there are two of every important gauge on the dashboard. So there's like two optometers that tell you whether you're climbing or whether you're diving. And there's another gauge, which there are two of, I think it's called a yaw gauge, and they tell you whether you're going left or right, backwards or forwards. And the reason there are two is because if you're feeling so strongly that you are actually going upwards, but you feel like you're going upside down and going diving towards the earth, what you do is you take a look at one gauge and you think, okay, no, that gauge says I'm right side up and I'm level. So you think there must be something wrong with that gauge because the sensation is so powerful. So what you do is you check your other gauge, which is a duplicate gauge, and it's saying, no, you're level and you're level. You're right way up and you're level. And they say that two witnesses are better than your feelings. And they teach you to trust your instruments and they beat it in you. Do not trust your feelings in the middle of a storm. And I believe that is what God is saying to us today. do not trust your feelings in the middle of the storm. Those gauges are God's truths that have become core values, and they are built in our lives for storms. Church, we are in a storm right now, and God wants you to see past your feelings and live according to God's word, His truth, and His reality. His truth is that He rules and reigns, and His plans for you is to bless you and prosper you. COVID has not changed His plans and purposes for you. His promises are still true and remain today. All your feelings and what you're seeing might feel like everything is nosediving. It might be your marriage, it might be your relationships, your career, your health, your future. And the emotions are so real, and you just want to give up. You're so tempted to take a wrong turn and turn away from what God is saying to you. If that is where you are today, church, then I want to say to you, check your gauges. The gauges are what God says. Check what God is saying. Check your gauges. Because it's that truth, that reality that's going to set you free. And as I finish, there's a scene in one of my favourite films. And if you've seen it, Night and Day, with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz. And there's a line there where Tom goes to Cameron, if you want to live, you know, if you want things to go well for you, you know, this is what it looks like. With me, without me. With me, without me. And I just want to say to you today, with God, or you're going to nosedive without God. So let's just pray. We could bow our heads. Yeah, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that when we are with you, we are soaring, Lord. When we are with you, we can hold on to your truth. We can hold on to your peace and your joy, Lord. So, Father God, I just pray, Lord, if there are any lies that we have believed that has caused us to see life that is not the way you see life, Lord, I just pray, Father God, yeah, forgive us for partnering with that lie. Yeah, just give it to Him now. Father God, we just give it to you now. Yeah. And then Father God, I just pray that you just release your truth right now. Your truth that sets us free, Lord. The truth that renews our mind. The truth that transforms our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.